a spark, a seed, a drop, a single tiny movement that causes the earth to shake, a blaze to ignite, a life to begin. It all starts small, barely noticeable. It takes time, it takes patience. It takes an action, a movement, a change in thought, a catalyst that sets in motion what you never thought possible because you believed it not to be true. But because of that small work, thought, word, habit, the biggest difference began to take shape. And so, it became.
Well, good morning, Friendship. My name's Andy. I'm one of the elders here. I'm going to be with you guys for week two of our series, Small Things, Big Differences. Hope you guys have a great weekend so far. I know yesterday we were out and about going to the pumpkin patch and stuff, and it actually got kind of hot. I was like, man, this is summer. This isn't fall. What the heck's going on around here? But we definitely know it is fall. You know, I like to use sports kind of as a guide to gauge the seasons. Baseball playoffs have started up. The Cubs are actually in the playoffs. Any Cubs fans out here? I'm not sure what's going on with that, but they can lose the first round and we can get this all over and done with and move back to reality. That'd be fine. NFL's in full session here. So when the NFL gets to the playoffs, you know, the Packers make a nice deep run into the NFC, and all the Bears, they'll be at home watching the games, just like us. So I'm a Packers fan, got to make a few digs at them here. But we'll definitely know it's wintertime when the NFL playoffs are here. And with winter comes everybody's favorite thing in the world, snow. Yes, I know. I'm the guy here in October talking about snow. It gets better. So a few of you crazy people do like snow, and that's okay. You know, we'd like you anyway, but you know, most of us adults don't really like snow too much. I like to take the kids out sledding a few times, and I'm pretty much done with it. Now, as a kid, I really did enjoy playing out in the snow. We'd go skiing and go sledding, but one of our favorite things to do is build big snow forts and have little snowball wars. So the area I grew up in, southwest Michigan, there was a hill leading down to a parking lot in front of a school. So when they plowed the parking lot, they would push all the snow up against the base of the hill. So we have these two big mountains of snow coming together here to make a nice, perfect area to build some epic snow forts in there. So there'd be a bunch of us kids from the neighborhood out there for hours just playing in the snow, building these huge forts. And our weapon of choice, of course, was the snowball. So we'd make mounds and mounds and mounds of these snowballs and get ready to have a big snowball fight, which lasted all of maybe 5 minutes, and you were through all the snowballs. But snowball is an interesting choice of a weapon because it's really not very effective, and it's kind of harmless. You pick the snowball up, you get ready to throw it, half of it stuck to your glove, and then the other half just went flop. Well, that's not very good. Or if you didn't have good packing snow, you pick the thing up, and you get ready to throw it, and just poof, just a big poof right in front of you. It doesn't get anywhere. So relatively harmless. Now, the only time I've seen a snowball actually be a good weapon was if you were one of those kids that put a rock in the middle of the snowball. So there's probably a few of you out here that were responsible for that, giving people black eyes and stuff with their snowballs, but it became a nice weapon at that point. But typically a snowball is going to be a pretty mildly dangerous toy here of any kind. Now let's picture the snowball and let's put it up on top of a mountain. Now we're not talking like a hill that we have here in Indiana. We're talking a real mountain. So think of the Alps or the Rockies. We're talking a real mountain. Put it up there, give it a little push, and what's going to happen to it? Well, it's going to start getting faster and faster and faster as it rolls down the hill. More snow is going to start sticking to it, and it's going to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're going to have tons and tons of snow going with it. So it's going bigger and faster. It's getting bigger, going faster, getting bigger and faster. So pretty soon what started as a small handful of snow packed together just to playfully throw at each other has now turned into this huge avalanche that can cause a lot of damage and destruction. So in this avalanche can actually get up to 10 million tons of snow in it. So a little thing turned into something big. Now 10 million tons of snow, I can't even fathom how much snow that is. I hope I just never see that much snow in my entire lifetime. I can't even picture that. But it gets moving pretty fast down the side of the mountain. It can go in up to 200 miles an hour. Now, to put that in perspective for natural disasters, since we don't really experience avalanches around central Indiana, we do know our tornadoes, though, here. Now, tornadoes, they rate in a series of 0 to 5, or EF0 to EF5 rating scale. A 0 being, you know, the wind speeds aren't real high and it's pretty small, up to the EF5 tornado, which are big, destructive, and cause a lot of damage. Hopefully you've never been in one of those, maybe seen some of the videos of them or whatnot. But the speeds, to get up to an EF5 tornado, they have to hit 200 miles an hour. So picture these wind speeds whipping around at 200 miles an hour. Put that on the side of the mountain with 10 million tons of snow, and that's going to cause some damage. In fact, an avalanche can actually completely wipe out an area the size of 100 football fields. So let's go downtown, take Lucas Oil Stadium, multiply it by 100, and just completely wipe that area clean. An avalanche can cause that much destruction. So what started as a few harmless little tiny snowflakes actually ended up turning into this massive destructive force. A very small thing ended up making a very large impact. In the same way that snow can build and build to an out-of-control avalanche, our thoughts can take control of us and turn into an out-of-control problem. Starting as a small, seemingly innocent, insignificant thought into something that has a major impact on our behaviors and on our lives. Think about a time maybe you tried to get ready for bed. You had the temperature in the room set just right, which evidently, according to research, is 65 degrees. So any of you warm bedroom sleepers, I hate to tell you, you're wrong. It's 65 degrees. And you got the ambiance right. There's no sound. It's dark. Again, you might disagree with that, but, you know, we'll go with it. So everything's set up perfect for this great night of sleep. You lay down in bed. You find that perfect spot in bed where you feel weightless. Man, this is going to happen. It's going to be the best night's sleep ever. And then what happens? One little thought pops in your head. Maybe it's something you forgot to do. Maybe it's something you have to do tomorrow. Maybe it's something completely random. You have no idea why you're even thinking about it, but it pops in your head. And then you can't stop thinking about it. It's rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling in your head. And now you got more thoughts in there, and everything's just starting to swirl around. Now, instead of a perfect night's sleep, now you're laying there wide awake. Just, I'm comfortable, but I can't sleep. What the heck's going on here? So maybe you get up, you watch TV, read a book, do whatever, lay back down to no avail. You're wide awake. You're up all night. So if you haven't slept, how are you going to act the next day? Well, you're probably going to be a little grumpy. I get grumpy when I don't get enough sleep, and I might be short with my friends and family or my coworkers, and might have a quick temper. Probably won't be able to focus on my job or my schoolwork or whatever that I have going on. And a really bad scenario, maybe you get drowsy or fall asleep while you're operating machinery or driving a car or something. Then something really destructive can happen. But what started as one little tiny thought when you're trying to go to bed has now completely changed your night and your whole next day and can make a very big impact. Now for me, that's something I experience on almost a daily basis, is my thoughts really affecting my behaviors. I've struggled with anxiety for a very long time, and that always starts with a small thought. So if I have something coming up that might be causing me anxiety, hours, days, weeks, months, even years in advance, I'll start thinking about it. Simple little thoughts, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not strong enough to do it. You're going to have too much anxiety. Don't even bother trying. Something bad's going to happen if you try to do that. And these thoughts start building. The closer to the day and the time, they build. The thoughts get bigger. They get moving faster and faster and faster in my head. So the thoughts are getting bigger and faster and bigger and faster. Heart starts racing, going 100 miles an hour. Next thing you know, I'm in a full-fledged panic attack. If anybody's experienced panic before, you know that all rational thought has pretty much gone out the window at that point. All you can think of is getting out of that situation, no matter the cost. So if you make a bad decision at that point, that can be life-altering, depending where you are and what you're doing, because you're not thinking about anything. I mean, it's just your brain is shut off. And for me, it's really impacted my life also, because I've actually avoided doing things that I should have been doing because I thought I wouldn't be able to. I believed all the thoughts that I had, all that anxiety, actually stopped me from going to do something that I should have been doing or something that I've wanted to do. Now, this is something we probably all experience on a smaller basis, or some people even on a larger basis. But let's look back at this last week. Let's just take a week. Last week, Pastor Dave mentioned looking for your one thing, that one thing that God would have you do or that type of person that God would have you be. I'm sure you've had a week now to think about it, process that, had some thoughts about it. I'm sure some of those were probably good. It's like, oh yeah, I can totally do this, or we're going to do this and get motivated. I'm sure you've also had some thoughts of, wow, this is going to be hard. This is going to be impossible. I don't know that I'll be able to do this. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know that I'm good enough. Well, having these types of thoughts, I mean, these are going to be enough to make you want to quit even before you start. Now, our thoughts are very, very powerful. And they define everything about us. Everything that we've ever done, everything we ever will do, first started as a thought, whether it was right, whether it was wrong, whether it was good, whether it was bad. We had to think about it before we actually did it. And when our thoughts have this much power over us, the power to affect our behavior, it's very important for us to rein them in when they get out of control. If we can get control over them, if we can capture them, if we can shape them, we can change our behaviors and we can change our lives. Instead of a few small things moving our lives in the wrong direction, we can use those thoughts to create a positive impact. And that's the big idea for today. The big thing that you're going to want to catch and hold on to with the message today is that your thoughts will direct your behaviors. That your thoughts will direct your behaviors. Now in Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you to a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So first we're told not to copy the customs and behaviors of this world. So what are those when it comes to our thoughts? How many times have you had some negative thoughts and someone just told you, oh, just think happy thoughts or think positively, as if it's just that easy to turn your thoughts off? My daughter will come up to me sometimes and she can't go to sleep because she's thinking about something scary maybe she saw on TV or something. And, you know, I'm guilty of the same thing. Well, just think of unicorns and ponies and whatever. And, you know, sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't. And not that it's a bad thing to do that, but it's not a substantial permanent solution. It's a temporary fix. It's a Band-Aid. So if we're trying to use things of this world to fix our thoughts on, we're going to fall short. We're not going to make it. Let's not copy these things. Instead, let's turn to God. Let's let God transform us by changing the way that we think. God will actually direct our behaviors, the way we act, the things we do, by changing our thoughts. He's going to show you his will for you. Maybe that's your one thing that we talked about last week, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If we do the small things, changing one thought at a time, we can get to the big thing, which is our behaviors and the direction that our life is heading. Now, this whole idea of transforming our thoughts does sound fantastic, but how do we actually get there? Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to attack the lies. We need to attack the lies. You may be wondering, what lies is he talking about right now? So let's revisit those thoughts that you were having this week about your one thing. Those thoughts that you couldn't do it, those thoughts that you're not strong enough. This is something that God is asking you to do. So he's certainly not the one telling you that you can't do it. Just think about thoughts you have in general, about your job, about being a parent, about being a spouse. How many thoughts do you have that tell you you can't do it, or you'll never make it, or you're not smart enough? God's not telling you those things. In John 8:44, it tells us that Satan is the father of lies and there is no truth in him. These thoughts that we're having, they're lies and they're from Satan. And so let's recognize what these things are. They're destructive thoughts and they're lies. Satan would rather keep us wrapped up in this avalanche full of lies over here so we can't accomplish what it is God has for us. If these thoughts are directing our behavior, we're going to go down the wrong path. If we can attack those and move into the path that God wants us to, we can be successful. Think about a time maybe you tried to lose weight, tried to maybe get healthier, go on a diet plan. Probably got the whole thing planned out ahead of time, made the big chart with the meals planned out, your shopping lists, even bought those little special containers you can put all the perfect portions in so you don't overeat or undereat. You know, you got all your workout clothes and ready. You got that Fitbit on so you can track all your steps and every single calorie that's going in and out. And maybe did good for a week or a day or, you know, a month. Maybe some real motivated people maybe did great for a year. And, you know, some people do really good at that. But at some point, you're probably going to get thwarted by your arch nemesis, the leftover pizza in the fridge. You don't even know how that pizza got in the fridge. It was just there. It showed up. You open the fridge. Whose pizza is this and why is it there? We're going to start thinking about this pizza because it's in there. Now, some of the things you're going to think of are going to be true. Well, let's not lie. You're going to look at that pizza and be like, wow, that pizza would be delicious. Now, that is the truth. Pizza is fantastic, so that's definitely not a lie. But you're also going to think up some lies. You're going to think of, ah, I just don't have the willpower to resist that pizza when it's right in front of me. Well, that's not true. Or I have to have some of that pizza. Or my favorite thing to do is, wow, I deserve some of that pizza because I worked out so hard today. So I deserve a slice. Or maybe I deserve six slices because I've been so good today, right? So next thing you know, you've eaten this entire pizza just because you thought about it. And you believed the lies that you told yourself about it. Now when you're laying on the couch a little bit bloated and feeling guilty for eating the whole pizza, now you're having thoughts about your whole diet and exercise plan, right? You're sitting there, man, I don't know if I can even do this. I've ruined today. I guess I'll, you know, tomorrow and the whole week's ruined, so why even try? I just don't have the willpower to do it. It's going to be impossible. There's no way I can do it. So now a few little thoughts you had about some slices of pizza have now directed your diet and your exercise, your healthy eating plan, completely out the window and gone the wrong way. A few small thoughts had a big impact. Now in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we need to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So to attack these lies, we can't just simply think happy thoughts or try harder to get rid of these lies. We need to demolish them. It tells us to attack them, demolish them. If you don't like those words, put other ones in there. Smash, blow up, nuke, exterminate, you know, give the elbow drop to, whatever works for you. But we cannot remain passive in this process. There's nothing passive about this process at all. In fact, it tells us to take our thoughts and make them captive, take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. So instead of our thoughts actually holding us prisoner, we are told to take those thoughts and make them our prisoner and turn them around and make them obedient to Christ. Now, do you know what they do in an actual avalanche when you try to minimize the amount of damage it has? This 10 tons of snow moving at 200 miles an hour down the side of a mountain, they actually shoot explosives at it and attack the side of the mountain. So they either line up some cannons along the bottom and start shooting explosives up, or they'll fly up there in helicopters and start shooting away at the side of the mountain with some explosives. So now one, that sounds like a pretty awesome job. I don't know how you get that, but I'd like to look into it. Number two, I'd like to propose that as maybe an event for Uncivilized next year for all you guys out there. Yeah? Sounds kind of fun to me. But by attacking the side of the mountain and attacking the snow, they can actually direct where it goes. So if it's moving right towards a heavily populated area, they might be able to shoot some explosives in a certain area and direct it away. Or maybe they can blow it up into smaller pieces and it'll have less of an impact over maybe a bigger area where there's going to be less people or less loss. So if we can actually attack the thoughts that we think up, the lies that we think up, and attack those, we can direct our behaviors and direct the course of our lives and minimize the damage. So once you recognize it's a lie, it's got to go. Once you kill that thought, it actually doesn't have a chance to become a behavior. It doesn't have a chance to direct your life in the wrong way. Now, I'm a visual learner, so I like to imagine that I'm actually physically taking the thought out of my head, squishing it down, and getting rid of it. That might not work for you. You might like to picture that helicopter up there blasting the side of the mountain as you're going. That works. If you like superheroes and stuff, you can imagine the Hulk coming in and smashing it up into little pieces. For the football fans out there, we can imagine Clay Matthews sacking Jay Cutler back in the backfield. Or for the Colts fans out here, you know, why not have Tom Brady getting sacked back there, right? And frankly, you know, Tom Brady is kind of like the liar of the NFL, right? So this actually works as a pretty good example. But whatever it takes, guys, we gotta physically take hold of this lie and get rid of it. Recognize it for what it is and get it gone. Ephesians 4, 22, 23 says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes." Again, this is not a passive thing. We actually have to physically take our old self and throw it off. We got to get rid of it. It's corrupted. Once we've accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you and will renew your thoughts. So if this is true, why do we let our thoughts beat us up? Why do we let our thoughts drag us down? The Holy Spirit is there to renew our thoughts. So once we've attacked the lies, the next thing we need to do is embrace the truth. We need to embrace the truth. Now, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what it is you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And this right here is some powerful stuff. This actually gives you a great step-by-step guide how to embrace God's truth, how to think. First, we don't worry about anything. Now, it's quiz time. When the Bible says anything, it means anything, right? Anything. If these lies are coming in, we're not worrying about them. We're attacking them, getting rid of them. Instead, we're going to pray about everything. Again, when the Bible says everything, that is everything. Instead of worrying, we're going to talk to our Heavenly Father, who we have 24/7 access to. We're going to tell him what it is that we need, and we're going to be thankful for everything that he's done. So what is it that you need to get out of your own way? What do you need to stop being your own worst critic? What do you need to stop being your own worst enemy? Or what do you need to start to get towards your one thing? Do you need discipline? Do you need patience? Ask for those things. This verse has been integral in my battle that I've had with anxiety. In times where I feel the thoughts building and building and building, I stop and I turn to God and I pray. And I'll pray about anything I can think of, whether it's my family, my friends, my church, small group, people on a prayer list, coworkers, whatever it may be. I'll thank him for everything and anything that I can think of. And I ask him specifically to help me with my anxiety in that moment. Now, you can do this anytime. If you feel yourself being attacked by lies, you're having these thoughts, man, just stop and follow this step by step through. These are the things we're supposed to be thinking about, not the lies that we're being told and the lies that we're believing. Now, this verse continues to tell us what God promises us in the process. He promises his peace. Now, we might define peace as harmony, calm, serenity. Now, these are great things, especially if you're in the middle of some worry or saying anxiety, those are great. But God promises even more. His version is so much better, it's even beyond our comprehension. He promises that his peace will protect our hearts and our what? Our minds. If we want to transform our thoughts, we need God's protection. He's going to guard your mind, he's going to guard your hearts. We have God's protection on our hearts and our thoughts, whose lies are not going to be able to get in. Again, I'm a visual learner, so when I read this, I always picture, you know, how they have in TV shows and cartoons where God pops up on one shoulder and Satan pops up on the other, and, you know, they're whispering and in your ear telling you what to do, good thing and bad. Well, my version's a little bit different. God's got this big massive sword and shield as well, so he's standing up there and he's protecting my mind from the other little dude over here who's hopefully cowering in the corner over here, but you never know. So when Satan lies to you and tells you you can't do it, we need to turn to God. We need to embrace his truth. Now, this verse continues to actually give you a blueprint of other things that we're supposed to be thinking about all the time. Philippians 4:8, the verse continues, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Now, do those describe your thoughts? They certainly do not describe my thoughts. If I'd written that down, mine would sound a little bit more like this. It would be, fix your thoughts on what worries you, what nitpicks your mistakes, and what's wrong with you. Think about how much of a screw-up you are and how many times you failed and how many people you've hurt. Now, that's pretty much the exact opposite of the things that we're supposed to be thinking about. Let's take our minds toward things that are truth, honorable, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. I mean, you look at this list of things to think about, and it can easily be summed up as God and His Word. That is what we're supposed to be spending our time thinking about. For me, what works is spending time memorizing verses. So if I'm in the middle of some worry, some anxiety, I'll turn to God's Word, think about Him, think about His Word, speak it back to Him, and we'll talk back and forth. And that helps in the moment. It also helps later. The more of God's truth I have memorized, the more of that I can embrace when I'm being attacked by lies later down the road. If I'm being attacked, I can stop, I can take that away, and I can pull God's truth out and embrace that. When Satan tells me I can't do it, no, God says I can do it. So last week, Pastor Dave also challenged us to find one verse that would help us get to our one thing that it is God has for us. If you haven't found that verse yet, I'd really encourage you this week to find that. Take that verse, do whatever it takes to get that verse memorized. You'll have that with you all the time. When you're being attacked by lies, you've thrown those out, you can turn to that one verse and God's truth, and you can embrace that verse, you can embrace God's truth, and turn away from the lies that Satan's trying to tell you about it. So I hope you're encouraged today. I hope you're able to see how some small thoughts can make big impacts on your behavior. Now, it's your choice if these are destructive behaviors or if they're beneficial behaviors. It's your choice which direction you let your thoughts take your life. If we let them take our life in the direction God wants, or if we let our thoughts take our life in the wrong direction. So let's attack the lies, let's embrace the truth, and let godly thoughts direct our behavior. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for the time we were able to spend today in your word. I want to pray today for everyone here that they're able to recognize lies that they're being told and they're able to attack those lies. And God, I pray that everyone here is able to embrace your truth. They can turn to you, they can turn to your word, and they can embrace the truth that you have for them. I want to pray for everybody today that you give protection to their minds and their thoughts so that we're going through this week, that you'll be there by their side, fighting away the lies and helping them embrace the truth. God, we're just so thankful that you actually care for each and every thought that we have. You're so loving that even every little thought matters to you, and that we have some instruction in your word of how to deal with those thoughts and how to manage those thoughts. And God, I want to pray for everyone this week that they can make a few small changes in their thought processes, a few small changes in their lives to make the big impact that you would have for us. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen.